This episode is brought to you by Happy Mammoth. Listen, over the last weekend, I went to a family reunion, and unfortunately, that fell on that particular time of the month that all of the women know what I'm talking about. So I had an attitude. I wanted to eat everything, and I was in the South, which means I wanted to eat everything that was terrible for me. And overall, I just wasn't feeling it. I had a great time, just wasn't feeling like myself. Now it's easier to manage PMS with estrogen control. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. Now, here's the beauty about adaptogens. They help the body adapt to any stressors, like chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the show code BLESSED at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code BLESSED for 15% off today. This episode is brought to you by Delta Airlines. One of the most underrated parts of a trip is that flight home. And that's why Delta Airlines tries to make you feel at home long before you even get there. Now, for somebody like me that's a homebody, feeling at home in the air is very valuable to me. And I love to curate that comfortable experience. And what I love about Delta is they have over 1,000 hours of in-flight entertainment. They have Wi-Fi, so I can do anything else that I want to do on my devices. They have great food and drink, and it just creates a positive end to my trip. They have fast, free Delta Sync Wi-Fi available for SkyMiles members, more than 1,000 hours of in-flight entertainment, and they have premium food options and beverages like herbal teas, cold brew, sparkling wine, and more. All of the comforts that you'll find at home, you can find in a flight experience that feels made just for you. You may not be home yet, but Delta Airlines helps you feel a little bit more like it. Delta Airlines believes that you should feel at home, even if you're 30,000 feet above it. Learn more at delta.com. You are listening to Blessed and Bossed Up, presented by Anchored Media, an entrepreneurship podcast for Christians all about how to make God the CEO of your business. Get ready to be inspired, challenged, but well-equipped to live and build your destiny His way. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. We did not have episodes last week. I was in Atlanta speaking, so I had to travel for that. And we did our Christian content creator town hall, which was phenomenal. We'll get there in a second. And I released my program. Of course, preparing for travel with 2 children. My husband came with me, but I had to get my kids ready to leave the house. So y'all, I was up at like 3 o'clock in the morning through the earlier parts of last week to prepare. I used a new platform for my program and for the town hall. So making sure all the back end stuff was together, making sure my kids had everything that they needed. It was a lot. I actually vlogged it. So once I finished editing it, I'll put it on my YouTube channel. But yeah, your girl was beat and was not able to. Even the town hall, it started at 8. It was 3 hours because Holy Spirit came through. And none of us stayed on our time. After that was over, I went to bed, had to wake up early and get straight to the next day. And then I had to, the event was 2 days. So it was a lot of work on top of work, and your girl was beat. And originally I was going to chop out my message of the town hall and post it as the podcast, but I felt like I wanted to instead re-teach the message God gave me here on the platform for a fresh perspective for this audience. For me, this podcast always must non-negotiable that this podcast is a pure space. So that means I don't hit record until I pray. That means I don't come up with my own episode titles. The Lord downloads those to me, and then I put the message together from there. And in order to do that, that means I have to stay in my word. I have to stay in communication with God, because if I don't, then how am I going to get anything that I'm supposed to be creating to release to you guys? Another part of this platform, staying pure, is that I have to be able to discern, like, okay, do I take this message from this, meaning the town hall, and post it on the show? Or is there something different that God has for this audience? And even as a speaker in general, you do have to, even if you have the same message, you have to tailor it for the individual audiences. And I believe that God wanted me to tailor the message I gave then for this specific audience. So I said, okay, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to repurpose it. I'm going to re-record it. But in order for me to re-record it, and again, keeping this platform pure, I have to make sure that I am in the right state of mind to be able to communicate it. And so exhaustion is not the right state of mind for me to record. I could push past being like a little tired, a little sleepy, just not really being in the quote unquote mood. Those are things that I can record through, because the Holy Spirit will empower me to still speak through that. But when I am exhausted, then I have to take a step back, and I won't record at that time. So right now it's about 6:22 a.m. the morning that this is going to come out. I got up at 5. I was going to record this last night, but again, exhausted. So I got up early and had my coffee, finished reading the chapter for this week for Joyce Meyer book that I'll record right after this. Got my Bible, reread the text that I'm going to be speaking from, and I'm fresh minded and ready to communicate this word. So as I stated, we did last week our Christian Content Creator Town Hall. So yes, I introduced my program for podcasters, but historically with Anchored Media, I've always done things like open houses where I'm like, hey, come learn about the company, learn about what we have going on, how you can work with us, and then we'll take the next steps from there. This time, I just felt something different in my spirit. It wasn't like, okay, this is something new I'm releasing for business. It was, I felt a righteous anger and a conviction in my spirit and a calling to a specific group of people and to serve them a specific way. And so even with my program, it is a combination of mentorship and instruction, because there's a lot of resources out there. There's a lot of information out there. We're in an information age, but what's missing is guidance. What's missing is mentorship. What's missing is wisdom, specifically for the Christian creator, because so much of what we go through is spiritual. It's things that we navigate before we even pick up a device or pick up the microphone or anything like that. And along those same lines, again, I had this righteous anger and conviction to specifically address Christian content creators. The Bible refers to the enemy as the prince of the air. And that can be interpreted as literally the air and the invisible spiritual realm that's going on around us. It could also be interpreted as the world, but whichever way that you interpret it, I believe that the online world, the online space, the content space, the internet, this new media that has developed over the years falls into the enemy's kingdom. And he has done an excellent job of marketing himself to the believer and the unbeliever. So now you have people who God has called to various platforms, or God has called to entrepreneurship, who are conforming when they're supposed to coexist. And it irritates me. Jesus was able to coexist with sinners, but he didn't conform. And it bothers me to see so many of us with these businesses and with these platforms building altars to ourselves, where so many people are now utilizing faith as a marketing strategy to appeal to people's emotions because they know that church folk are gullible. The amount of the way that the enemy has allowed lukewarmness to be the standard angers me deeply. And the way that so many believers fall into it angers me, because we are supposed to spread the gospel. We are supposed to be disciples. We are supposed to make disciples, but we've made everything about us. We've made everything about how many ways we can get our blessing. And we're really
broke the camel's back for me recently was I watched, when I'm up early and I'm working, I'll play sermons in the background. And there was one pastor that I clicked on, and his whole Resurrection Sunday message was about us. Not about the price that Jesus paid for us. Not about our sins being forgiven because of what happened on Calvary. Not about who we are based upon the resurrection of Jesus Christ, but about how we can XYZ, and XYZ meaning how we can get ahead. I was so irritated. So with this town hall, as I was planning this, my mindset was, Lord, let this be a space where your people get free, where your people understand the truth of what you're doing in this season, the truth of what you've called them to create, because there is so much garbage. There's so much junk out there. And there's so many, I believe, well-intentioned entrepreneurs, well-intentioned believers who have fallen victim to a lot of the bright, shiny objects and fallen victim to how individuals have manipulated your word and made us try to get you to serve us versus the other way around. And so this was my heart when I was planning this. And what God gave me was Isaiah 6. And this thing been so good to me, y'all. At my speaking engagement, I gave this again. I've talked about this so many times in real life. And I'm going to give this message again here on this podcast because I am going to sing this message from the mountaintops. If you want to watch the replay, though, of the town hall, I'll put the link to it in the show notes. And if you want to learn more or apply for my program, I'll put the link to that in the show notes, too. All right, let's go to Isaiah 6. I'm going to read it, and then we're going to get into the message that God gave me. So starting at verse 1, it was the year the king Uzziah died that I saw the Lord. This is Isaiah talking. He was sitting on a lofty throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Attending him were mighty seraphim, which are angels, each having 6 wings. 2 wings that covered their faces, 2 that covered their feet, and 2 they flew. They were calling out to each other, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of heaven's armies. The whole earth is filled with his glory." Their voices shook the temple to its foundation, and the entire building was filled with smoke. Then I said, "It's all over. I'm doomed, for I am a sinful man. I have filthy lips, and I live among a people with filthy lips. Yet I have seen the King, the Lord of heaven's armies." Let's take a pause right there after verse 5. I want you to picture this. And I had to go and find a YouTube video because I wanted to see if somebody had created something that illustrated what is described here. Because I think we can read it and imagine what that's like, but it's something different when you see it. So if go to YouTube and search Isaiah 6, and I found actually 2 illustrations when I did that. But I want you to put yourself in this scenario for a second. Isaiah had a vision of the Lord. The Lord was on this lofty throne, this big, high, lofty throne. The train of his robe was so long, y'all, that it filled the temple. So feet and yards of God's robe filled the temple. There were angels attending to him. Now, I know when we see statues of angels that they look nice. But I don't know if I'm thinking about an angel that has 6 wings covering his eyes, covering his feet, and then 2 that it flew with, that don't look too cute. It feels scary, to be quite frank. And these angels were around the Lord, and they were calling out to each other, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of heaven's armies." This text says that their voices shook the temple to its foundation, and the entire building was filled with smoke. So imagine, again, this big throne, this bright light of the Lord on this throne, this huge robe that is overtaking the temple, these giant, scary looking angels, and they're singing holy, holy, so much so that the temple shook, that the place filled with smoke. Like, this is an encounter. This is a vision that shook Isaiah to his core. I'm telling you, if this was me, I would have peed my pants. I would have been like, whoa, like shooketh is the word. I would have been so shook had I experienced a vision like this. And Isaiah was so shook that he said, it's all over. I'm doomed. He said, I'm a sinful man. I have filthy lips and I live among a people with filthy lips. Yet I have seen the King, the Lord of heaven's armies. This vision of the Lord in his glory, in all his magnificence, in all his wonder. Isaiah, I'm assuming, fell to his knees, because I would have. How can you stand when you are in the presence of the Lord? And I don't know about y'all, but one way to really be able to understand or discern that you're in the presence of God is an overwhelming sense of unworthiness, and not in a sense where you feel shame, but in a sense where all you want to do is glorify him, where all you want to do is get on your knees and worship him, because who am I to be able to be in front of a God so big, of a God so glorious? Like, that is a feeling. I know me, when I'm in the presence of God and I'm worshiping, tears fall down. I have to get on my knees. I have to take my shoes off, because again, who am I? I feel like Isaiah. He says, I'm a sinful man. I have filthy lips and I live among a people with filthy lips. Yet I have seen the King, the Lord of heaven's armies. It's a sense of disbelief. And it was such an encounter with God that Isaiah had that it fueled his ministry moving forward. Let me finish the text and then we're going to go back. So picking up at verse 6, it says, then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal he had taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. He touched my lips with it and said, see, this coal has touched your lips. Now your guilt is removed and your sins are forgiven. Then I heard the Lord asking, whom shall I send as a messenger to this people? Whom will go for us? I said, here I am, send me. And he said, yes, go and say this to my people. And then he gives him the message. Now, here's something I really want you to understand as an entrepreneur, as somebody who is called to this space. God did not give Isaiah any context or anything else beyond the message. He asked, who shall I send? Isaiah said, send me. And then God says, yes, go and say this to the people. Isaiah did ask the Lord how long. He answered him. And then Isaiah went and did the work of the Lord. I have this outlined or underlined in my study Bible that gives a profile on Isaiah. It says, when he called Isaiah as a prophet, God did not encourage him with predictions of great success. God told Isaiah that the people would not listen, but he was to speak and write his messages anyway, because eventually some would listen. This episode is brought to you by Rosetta Stone. I've been telling you guys that I'm planning a trip for my husband's milestone birthday that he has coming up. And as we choose which location we actually want to go to, I've been thinking a lot about learning a new language once we narrow it down. Because when I get there, I want to throw myself into the culture, into the language. And a part of that is learning exactly the language that they speak ahead of me getting there, right? Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning platform available on desktop or as an app, and that it truly immerses you in the language that you want to learn. I'm most excited about the track record of Rosetta Stone because, I mean, they've been trusted experts for 30 years. Millions of users in 25 languages offered. I mean, Spanish, French, Italian, German, Korean, Japanese, Dutch, Arabic, Polish. They have fast language acquisition. So Rosetta Stone immerses you in many ways. So no English translations. So you really learn to speak, listen, and think in that language. They have an intuitive process so that you pick up language naturally, first with words, then with phrases, and then sentences. And overall, it's designed for long-term retention. They have speech recognition, so a built-in true accent feature that gives you feedback on your pronunciation. So it's like having a personal trainer for your accent. It's convenient. So again, those desktop and app options with audio companion and ability to download lessons offline.
And best of all, amazing value. Lifetime membership has all 25 languages for any and all trips and language needs in life. That's lifetime access to 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off. A steal. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Blessed and Bossed Up listeners can give Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today today. This episode is brought to you by NPR. As a Black woman, it is just so important to have Black stories and to see myself represented in the media. As a mother of two beautiful Black little boys, it's important for me to show them representations of themselves in the media so that they can be inspired and know that the possibilities are endless for them and their futures, and also so that they can see their stories told. The next generation of influential Black voices can be found on NPR's new collection, Black Stories, Black Truths. Black Stories, Black Truths is a celebration of Blackness from NPR. Each of NPR's Black voices are as distinct, varied, and nuanced as the Black experience itself. In the Black Stories, Black Truths collection, you'll hear stories of joy, resilience, empowerment, and creating world-shifting things out of struggle. Every episode is a living account about what it means to be Black today, told from a unique Black perspective. From Bobby Shmurda to The Wire, Michelle Obama to reparations, there's no limit to the range of Black stories, Black truths. Black perspectives haven't always been centered in the telling of America's story. Now, they are the story. In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, you'll find a collection of some of NPR's best podcast episodes celebrating the Black experience. Hear a feed of episodes from across NPR's podcasts that center Black voices. It's NPR Noir. Turn on NPR today and hear a range of voices as varied, nuanced, and Black as the country we reflect. Stories should never be about us without us. Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR, wherever you get your podcasts.
Isaiah is considered the greatest Old Testament prophet. Isaiah prophesied about the coming death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Isaiah is quoted at least 50 times in the New Testament, one of the most quoted and referenced prophets of the Old Testament in the New Testament. He was consistent with his ministry, even though there was little positive response from the people that he was speaking to. And I was just so into this text, I just did a little bit more digging. And here's what I found. Remember, I said Isaiah prophesied of Jesus, right? He prophesied of the coming Messiah. He talked about what he would go through on earth. He talked about him being killed and being resurrected, right? It was 700 years after the death of Isaiah before the resurrection of Jesus. 700 years before the things that he was prophesying about actually came to pass. Question for you. Are you willing to obey God if his promises don't come to pass in your lifetime? Be honest about your answer to that, because it's in that honesty and that vulnerability that God can work on your heart. So many of us talk about generational wealth, but we're talking about it from the standpoint of what we can spend. Or we're talking about it from the standpoint of how we can be honored for what we've done. It's ego. I remember when I first gave my life to Christ, and or when I got saved, which for those of you who are new here, I used that as a marker to where I truly started allowing God to transform me. I got saved for the first time in high school. But then around 2017, I gave my life to Christ, or rededicated my life to Christ, in a way in which I was allowing him to transform me. And I've been consistent with the yes that I gave him then ever since that point. Now, when I first started realizing or recognizing that God needed to be the CEO of my business and I had to reframe or allow him to retrain my mind to seek him on behalf of business and not what school and professional settings had taught me, the first lesson that he taught me was through the book of Jeremiah. And at that time, what God was showing me was, hey, I consider Jeremiah successful. Measure Jeremiah's life up to what you envision success as, and they're not the same. At that time, I had vision boards with the car, the house, the money, the success, all the things that I viewed as achievement. And what God was doing was he had to redefine success to me, because if he was going to release me to the business world in that way, it would have destroyed me. I could, especially now, looking back on where I was at that time and the wisdom that I have now, pride is on my bloodline. Greed is on my bloodline. Selfishness is on my bloodline. There are so many things that are on my bloodline that God was showing me that whether intentionally or unintentionally, I was going to perpetuate that, and he had to put a hard stop to it. And he definitely had to put a hard stop to it before he could release me to do something like this, meaning this podcast, before he could release me to have any type of success with business, especially putting his name on it. And I'm so grateful for that in that season. And I say that because so many of you are in a season where God is training you up. He's changing your heart. He's renewing your mind. He's breaking you down so that he can build you back up. He's the potter, you're the clay, and you are resisting being molded. But he has to do that to protect you and to protect his people. It's not just about you. You may feel the effects of it right now, but it's not just about you. At that time, I couldn't realize, God, why do you have me in a space where I got to shut my business down, where I'm not making money, where I feel like I am worthless? And he's showing me, because it's a problem that your worth is wrapped up in achievements. It is a problem that you need a trophy in order to be validated. So I have to break down all of this trauma that has built up and built you into this state. I have to break it down so that I can show you how I see you, so that I can show you that you're fearfully and wonderfully made, that I can show you that you're my daughter, so that I can show you the plans that I have for you, not just for you, but for my kingdom, so that I can show you who you are. And so that, more importantly, I can show you who I am, so that you can glorify me. And that was the process that I was in. That's the process that I believe many of you are in. So we got to get out of our own selfishness and self-righteousness and to submit to whatever season God has us in, and not allowing the enemy to get us in our feelings so much that we're getting outside of the process of God, that we so mad about whatever that we are losing sight on who is actually in charge here. We're losing sight of the fact that if God has you in this season, it's for a reason. Trust his magnificence. Trust that he knows what he's doing. And if you are in a season where God is doing some things and it's frustrating, it doesn't feel good, and you find yourself being mad and irritated with God, that's a sign that you need to be in that season so that he can fix that in your heart. And so for me, he put me in that season where he had to fix some things in my heart, in my mind, in my perspective, so that I can be effective for his glory. Going back to Isaiah, I want to emphasize this. Isaiah had a vision of the glory of God. And that vision empowered him throughout the rest of his ministry, where he consistently prophesied, he consistently wrote down the prophecies. He consistently did what God said, to the point where he wasn't received. He probably looked crazy. People nowadays would probably say he had spiritual psychosis. And that's, child, we're not going to get into that right now. So much so that he died and the prophecies were not fulfilled, but he died being obedient to the Lord because of the vision. So many of us are empowered by a vision outside of the glory of God, and that is a problem. It is a problem. Now, I'm not saying that you shouldn't have a business idea. You shouldn't have a platform. You shouldn't have goals or anything like that. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, if your number one plan and objective is not to glorify God, you are in error and you are vulnerable to the devices of the enemy. And this is not a time in business. This is not a time in the world. This is just not a time for us to be selfish. This is a time for us to glorify God. God is going to very soon show and separate who is for him and who is against him. We are not giving in to this lukewarm behavior that has made itself so popular in these online spaces and has made itself so popular in this business world. It angers my soul how we love to talk about the blessings and what God can do for us, but we don't simply want to glorify him. Let this platform for me, my prayer is, God, let this be an altar to you. Let Blessed and Bossed Up be an altar to your glory. I come on here every single week to glorify the Lord and insert my humanity, my stories, my experiences, not for the glorification of me, but to send you back to your Father. So I'm sitting here telling you that just as Isaiah had a vision that empowered him through his ministry, I need you to replace whatever vision that you have, whatever is written on your vision board, whatever goals you have. I want you to replace that with a simple goal and a simple mission to glorify God, to obey him. Let his glory fuel you. And this is Old Testament. So Isaiah didn't even have the Holy Spirit. We have the benefit of having an advocate, a teacher, a guide, an indwelling spirit that conflicts with our flesh constantly so that we are not to do what we want. We have all of this extra that he didn't have. And we still can't just build platforms to glorify God. We still make excuses. We still are out here being lukewarm. We still are out here creating content, hashtag Christian content, that is about us and not the Lord. We still are out here making ourselves our own gods. We are still out here building businesses and putting faith on it, but our practices are not in alignment with him. We still out here saying that we're Christian entrepreneurs, but we're glorifying everything but God. We're conforming. We are displaying sin so that we could, quote unquote, be authentic. And when somebody is bold for Christ, we tell them that they're doing too much. When somebody makes a firm stand against sin, we tell them we're doing too much. God has given us the benefit of being in places and in spaces to glorify him. But instead, we want to look like everybody else when we were called to set apart. I am angry. Can you tell? Can you tell? And let the fire that I have, this righteous anger, be transferred onto you so that when you go out and you run your business, when you create your content, when you do your podcast, whatever it is, whatever lane he has you in, do it for his glory. Let the vision of glorifying God drive you. Reject the temptation of the enemy to conform, because it's always going to be there in these spaces. That's why the people of Israel fell so many times, because it was tempting to worship the other gods. You are going to be tempted. Even for me in this podcasting space, I remember, like I said before, calling a friend and being like, oh my gosh, this is all of this extra with like the video. People are doing these full productions for these podcasts, which is just cutting into one. Some people are never even monetized enough to justify the cost of half of these productions. And if you are monetized, all it's doing is cutting into your bottom line with stuff that wasn't even necessary for you to get monetized in the first place. And for me, there's this temptation of, should I be doing this? Should I be doing that? And not temptation to go against God, but to get onto certain trends. And so even I started doing more video and all of that. And I told God, I'm like, Lord, this is not consistent with the season that you have me in. So I think I'm wrong. because you have me in a season of slowing down some. You have me in a season of being, of serving my home. And having to do these video podcasts and all of that is taking more time when you are, that's just not the season you have me in. And God told me, do not conform to the patterns of this world, including the trends of your industry. I will make your name great. I have made this platform great, and I will continue to make it great by you continuing to be submitted to me. You don't have to do what they do. Come on. Hallelujah. You don't have to do what they do, because you have the power, the authority, the anointing that was given to you by the Lord of Heaven's armies, by the King of Kings. You don't have to do what they do, because when the trend is over and the dust settles, we will see who was truly of the Lord. We will see who stands. So I'm going to end this here. And what I want you to walk away with, and what I want you to sit with God with, and I want you to just journal, do whatever it is that you do to reflect. Compare your heart and what motivates you to what motivated Isaiah. He was driven and motivated by the glory of God. And that was enough for him to be consistently obedient. Why do we require so much? Why do we need God to prove so much to us in order for us to be consistent with what he said? Because some of you will start, but you won't see it through. Why do you require so much? I want that to sting a little bit and to bring you to repentance, because we should all be in this state when we are just sitting before the Lord and asking him to evaluate our hearts, to show us our errors, to repent. So I'm done. That wraps up another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. Thank you for listening. Leave us a 5-star review if this blessed you. I love you guys. If you want to watch the full replay of the town hall, the link is in the show notes. If you want to learn more about my program, because I am turnt and I am excited about what God is going to do in the platform of those who he has called me to be connected to in this capacity. And I'm not playing with the enemy and what he's been able to successfully do thus far. I'm going to do my part. And I am going to fight spiritually for God's will to be done. So that's it. I love you guys, and I'll see you in the next one.